everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. Well, today we have the last in the Authority series. And let me be honest, we're going to go out with a bit of a bang. We're going to be talking all about being a mental projector. And the incredible human I have joining me today is one of my mastermind crew. And I am so grateful to share some of her magic with you on this podcast today. So welcome, Miel Gerard.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I love being a student of yours and everything that you do. And yeah, I really feel like you're making the world a better place. So I'm very honored to be here and yeah, just a big fan. So thanks.
Wow. Thank you. That's very kind. All right. So today we're going to talk about being a mental projector. Now, what does that mean? Let's just start with the configuration. Basically, if you're a mental projector, it means that you have no definition below the throat. Okay. So some mental projectors might just have the head and ajna. Others might have the ajna and the throat. Some might have the head, the ajna, and the throat all defined. But basically what it means is there's nothing going on in the centers from a definition point of view below the neck, meaning you're going to have some what we call hanging gates, so activated gates that are red or black, but the centers themselves are white, meaning that your authority is this sounding board or, you know, talking it out. There's a number of different names that we give this authority. But ultimately what it means is that the decisions are being made through the physical body and talking it out. A mental projector is someone who, because they don't have consistent and reliable access to any of their centers below the throat, there's no consistent and reliable body feedback that's coming back in the same way about every decision. So instead of having to really rely on something consistent and reliable within the body, what actually happens is that the mental projector becomes really aware of their, and it is their superpower, this ability to read the potential of energy. And then as they are feeling their way through either the energy of a person or an environment, what's going to happen is they're going to need, or they're going to feel the need to talk it out. Now, talking it out isn't about asking for advice. You hear me say this a lot. When any type wants advice, they will be very direct and they will ask about, you know, exactly the advice that they want. However, now that we're talking about mental projectors, it's a process of being able to talk it out so that they can hear how this person or how this place makes them feel. Does that resonate with you, Miel?
100%. And I'd say the first time I started feeling this connection was actually through journaling, where I would be writing things out and then would have that pause of like, oh, that's how I actually feel about the situation. And now as I become more familiar and, you know, finding my place in the world and finding my trusted people, it's definitely become very clear to me that also, and this is something that I learned from you, is just selecting my audience is very crucial to my ability to speak freely. And again, to come to those proper truths for myself.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think that this is such a crucial point, that when you have this authority, it's so important, or any of the authorities where you need a process of talking it out, the people you choose to talk it out with are paramount. Miel, do you have experiences maybe in the past where you didn't know how important this person was, and perhaps you just, you know, went through this process probably quite unconsciously of deciding what's right for you through speaking it out, and maybe you spoke it out with people who weren't very supportive. Do you have experience of that? And maybe they're projecting all their crap on you, and it really, you know, it makes it hard for you to make a decision. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, so much experience. My goodness. I mean, really, I'd say it was earlier this year that I had this very clear understanding of how different it feels to have a big life conversation about a decision that I'm making with someone who isn't projecting their stuff onto me versus, I feel like, honestly, kind of my whole life, and mainly in these last few years as I'm continuously trying to find my way in the world, of just having so many people put their stuff on me when I just talk, you know, and I'm, again, not asking them necessarily for their opinions or this or that, but I think there is an interesting component of also just like the 3-5, which is my profile, and don't want to get too much into that, but there is, I do feel that it is really easy for other people to put their stuff on me. And in the past, I really wasn't aware of how much I was absorbing versus, just having that better understanding of what is mine and what is theirs. And it's been really fascinating and incredibly empowering, honestly, to recognize that not everyone is for me, and I can still love these people in my life, but just to have better boundaries in terms of who I really open up to, in regards to the things that I'm deeply thinking about and contemplating. And it's just, it's been really fascinating. And just earlier this year, I had a very clear kind of dichotomizing experience of speaking with two old friends. One, I always felt so shitty after the end of the conversation, and just, it made me doubt myself and question, and just always that continuous feeling of like, gosh, what's wrong with me? And why can't I function in this world the way I'm expected to? And then this other old friend kind of came back into my life. And at the end of the conversation, I would feel alive and excited and just feel so capable. And yeah, I was just so grateful for that. And continue to honor those experiences and see them for what they are.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love that. I think that's so important. Having that, that really clear example of when you bare your soul, because this really is the process of making decisions for a mental projector. Like you really have to bare your soul. You have to be honest. You have to be truthful, because you don't actually know how you feel about it until these words come out of your mouth or into your journal, which I think is a really, really important point for people, that it doesn't actually have to be another person. As long as you can hear yourself, as long as you can see the wisdom coming through, doing that through the process of a journal is also really, really powerful. But I love what you said about having these, you know, these, this dichotomy of the friend that you walk away feeling shitty. And even in the language that you use, I could hear that within that conversation, you're not actually speaking your truth because you're so busy trying to be someone that you think you should be. And then in this other conversation, this person's actually holding space for you to come to those clear and true decisions for yourself. So really paying attention to those external clues and those internal clues, like knowing how a specific person makes you feel when you're going through this decision-making process. I love that. And the other thing I want to add is that even though, for those listeners out there, even though Miel is a 3-5, she is going to get more projections because of that 5. But a mental projector, or anyone with not a lot of definition, you are still a walking mirror. So it's almost like, for in Miel's case, it's like a double whammy. Or Tiana, my reflector from the last mastermind, you know, she was a 5'2", so literally reflector, double projection field. So really understanding that wherever we have this openness or these undefined centers, we are a mirror. We are reflecting back to others. So having a mental authority really does mean that you need the space. You just need the space to be able to come to those decisions through the process of talking it out, writing it out, and allowing those things to drop in, as opposed to trying to force yourself or force, others to, you know, really know yourself. It's a process of allowing, not a process of forcing. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, I think, something that we have spoken about in previous conversations, the idea of doing the body scans on a continual basis. And this is actually something that I realized I would do in my set meditation times, but I wasn't doing it just kind of, you know, just repeatedly throughout the day. And even more so now that I have that habit back in check, it's so crazy how even in conversations, I absorb where the person might not even be present, but it was, you know, we're having conversations about life and all the things all together, and just realizing how I will pick up the feelings of this theme that we are talking about, and recognizing that, oh, okay, this isn't mine. And really learning to like let that go, because it, my whole life really has always been very much this internal process of, oh, okay, well, why am I feeling this pit in my stomach now? What does this mean about me? What do I need to work through? And what is coming through? And just really being able to take a step back and just letting it go. Ooh, been really powerful.
Yeah, I love that. And you bring up some of the most important points, I reckon, like being anyone with a lot of undefined centers below, especially below the throat, but any undefined centers. I mean, I have an undefined head and ajna, and I have to be aware of this, is that this is also a process of really working out what is yours and what isn't yours. You know, as you go through this decision-making process, often I have a very good friend of mine who's also a mental projector. And one of the things that I notice that she does, and she's completely unconscious to it, like she knows she's a mental projector, but she's not really into human design. But what I notice about her, and I would say that she's very aligned, you know, very naturally aligned to her design. And what she does is she literally has she's a lot of friends, a lot of really close, deeply connected friends. And she will just literally just move from one to the next to the next. And she will just share whatever she's going through. And she gets all these different, whether it's just the way we hold space differently, or the way we give feedback differently, or whatever it is. And I see this beautiful journey for her where she never makes a decision until she's probably spoken to 4 or 5 people. And again, it's not about our opinions, it's very much about just being able to have the conversation. And within that conversation, she can really go, okay, cool, I know what's correct for me now. But I want to get back to this, the body scan and knowing what's correct for you. I think I've probably shared this story on one of the last podcasts, but I'm going to share it again because I love it. It's so simple. Now, Swanee from my last mastermind, who's also a mental projector, when she first was learning all of her mental projector wisdom and beauty throughout the mastermind, she was playing tennis with a group of friends one day, and she made a line call, and she called a ball out, and one of her friends on the other team, he didn't like that at all, and she was fine about it. She's really cool. Like she's very a self-assured being. And as long as she was on her side of the net and he was on his, so their auras were nowhere near each other, she was cool. And then as soon as they swapped sides, and they walked past each other, she said it was like it hit me like a wave. Like all of a sudden, I felt like, oh my God, I've made the wrong decision. You know, this energy kind of hit her. And it was in that moment that she said, hang on a second, I just body scanned over there and I'm fine. And as soon as I passed this person, all of a sudden I'm not fine. And she was like, it was so cool to be able to be conscious that once I got back to my, you know, baseline and he got back to his, I could body scan and go, oh, wow, that is really not my energy. So this process, especially in decision-making, is so incredibly important that you have the opportunity to do those scans, to do those body scans. And even if you're going through the process and you're talking to your most trusted sounding board, still being able to step away and go, okay, so now what feels true for me? Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that even within my trusted group of people that, you know, they're all just individuals living their lives. So even if they're not necessarily projecting something onto me, the questions that they ask or their reflections that they add into the conversation are always going to be different. And in that, I do appreciate the ability to have various sounding boards to help me think about the thing differently. And I would say then within that, there is definitely just the human component of even my most trusted people that are not going to generally project their stuff onto me. You know, it happens every so often. And so being aware of the complexity of the idea of talking to another human, and with my mental projectorness, it definitely is helpful too, as you said, exactly, just can, you know, always then check for myself, is this really true for me? And I'd say that is sometimes easier than other times. And then there are those moments where it's even then on a different level of just, you know, being in contact with someone and feeling their energies and taking them on. And again, it's some things are easier to let go of, and other things, because they probably do resonate and have a, you know, I carry a part of that inside of me, that there is this idea of it takes, yeah, just longer for me to kind of make that separation happen. And it definitely always gets easier and better every single time I do it. So it is just that continuous practice of just getting better at it. And yeah.
I love it. One of the things that I think is fascinating about you specifically, one of the reasons why I really wanted to have this discussion with you on the podcast, because we've seen this, I'm going to say, like the art of a mental projector just play out almost every session we've had of the mastermind. And this is one of the things that I think for all the mental projectors listening, you know, so many projectors, full stop, but mental projectors especially, they're wandering around trying to, you know, who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? They're not fully seeing their beauty, their value, their worth. They're not seeing these things because they're still categorizing them under the actions that I take, the output that I create. And one of the things that we see so beautifully expressed with you is that it's almost like week after week, you might even just bring a reflection. You know, it's nothing to do with the outside world. And I think the reason why I want to share this, and it's not just mental projectors, so it's not just about this authority, but I really want to share the beauty of a projector when they are in alignment. And that is that you are literally just living your life. So on the mastermind, you might share a reflection, or you might share a challenge, or you might just share a comment or something that you've seen throughout the process. And all of a sudden, it's like this domino effect. It's like this, everyone in the room goes, oh my God, when Miel said that, I dot, dot, dot. And they went down this process, or they went through this, their own personal process from this very simple piece. Now, this is what I really want all the projectors out there to hear. And especially the mental projectors, because it's like you have this ability to just drop a seed and it's this seed of thought or an opinion or something, and all of a sudden it's this snowball effect. Were you aware that you had this gift, that this was happening before? That, I mean, you probably were, but please tell me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one that I've had glimpses of in my life. And I would say it really came about when I did my undergrad. I started political science because I wanted to make the world a better place, realized I'm not a liar, so that was not going to happen. Tried other variations of it, and I was just like, oh, it just gets worse and worse the less accountability there is. And then I ended up in the philosophy department. And that was the first time I was being recognized for my thoughts. And it was such a differing experience than I'd ever had before. And I'll say that I got away with a lot, but I always had good grades. I always did well in school, but it was really this idea to be seen for my ideas was really a big deal for me. And then other life things happened and kind of skewed away from those kinds of opportunities. And since then I've had various, scenarios in my life where I was allowed to share my opinions. And like I was working in an elementary school and working on basically like mindfulness and social emotional learning with these 10-year-olds, fifth graders. And it was so amazing how much they resonated with the things that I was sharing with them. And they were so excited. And I mean, I also called it like Jedi mind training. So of course they were all into that. It really helped me blossom in a way that I don't, and I haven't really experienced in other places, in just being out in the world with the general expectations of a human to perform in a certain way. And then I'd say most recently, earlier this year, I was in this writing workshop, like a creative nonfiction workshop. And again, it was writing came back, and there was this feeling of every week I'd share and everyone else in the group would just, you know, not to toot my own horn, but everyone would always be floored by the ideas, sentiments, reflections that I shared in my writings. And it is it's been a really productive feeling and experience for myself, because again, there has always been this theme of, gosh, I feel like I really don't fit into this world and the expectations of me. So having those experiences where I can really share my innermost self has been so rewarding. And yeah, I would wish that for every mental projector and also just every human, because we all want to be heard and seen.
Yeah.
I've been really grateful for those kinds of experiences, and also just in class with you guys.
Yeah. I love it. It's so incredibly powerful. And this is the piece that I really want all those mental projectors to hear out there, that, you know, to blow up that old paradigm of, you know, you have to be doing and achieving to be really valuable. I think what's cool is that, I know from my experience when you've been in class, so I can only imagine in the writing class or in the classroom with their 10-year-olds, it was the same, is that, you know, you see you in those moments. Do you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes you're seeing you because you're vulnerable and you want an answer and you're feeling really uncomfortable and you want to heal something, but you bring all of you. And it's those moments that you're fully seeing, recognizing and acknowledging your needs. You know, like you need a resolution to this, or you need to understand this. And I believe that these are the moments that why that mental projectors shine so brightly in these areas, because, you know, in your writing class, you just go in there, you're sharing your vulnerability, but it is this gift of the mind. And, you know, as an authority, it can be challenging to have this configuration because there isn't anything consistent per se, but I want to talk about that in a second. But Whereas when you come into these environments and you start to unconsciously and unknowingly and even unintentionally give this gift of your ideas, this is when I really see you, and I've seen many mental projectors shine really brightly. And I love the moment of, you know, I can often see you just in the background, like, wow, when you hear the next person. Well, actually, when Miel said da 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 da, and like that, those moments when it really just hits home for you that far out, you know, I do matter. What I say matters. And do you ever have that awareness that, wow, I actually don't have to try so hard. I just need to turn up. I just need to be me and be honest. Because when you're that vulnerable, true self, like, people just receive it. They pick it up.
100%. And I'd say that your advice to me earlier this week, I was having some boundary issues with work, and the way you encouraged me to just put it out there and just take that risk and be honest about what I need really reminded me of, I guess, the first time I learned about boundaries about 10 years ago, and how I would really trip up on myself before taking the action of speaking them out. And I used to write myself a script out and I would practice it. And yeah, I remember in the beginning, I was definitely met with resistance, but I stayed true to myself and just honored my truth and my needs. And it was just this, and eventually, and this was my experience earlier this week, when I finally did speak up for myself, it's so fascinating how time and time again, everyone ends up thanking me for setting the boundaries. It's literally, which, you know, then in that vein, it would be like, oh, well, why don't I do this all the time? And then it's the conditioning and just that, you know, gotta keep doing it and continuously rewrite those patterns. But that's been, yeah, just super, again, empowering to remember that, oh, yes, I can do this. And ultimately, in a weird way, everyone benefits from it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, this is the projector thing. Being a projector is, I mean, everything's counterintuitive, but being a projector is so counterintuitive, you know, like when you start to step in and trust the subtleties and trust your stuff, almost, that you trust your process. You're so right. It's like, this is these are new leaders that we're creating, and they're leading from the middle of the pack, and changing from a completely different paradigm than we're used to, of this patriarchal, you know, ego-driven masculine leader. But that's a whole nother conversation. So two things I want to talk about. Number one, I want to talk about, because you have the definition in the head and the ajna and the throat, but it can be any configuration for anyone listening.
I was actually going to say I don't have the head, so I just.
Oh, that's
have
right.
The,
sorry.
I just have the, no, you're fine. So just
good correction.
Ajna, throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that I've noticed, and I see this in my son, because he has that configuration, is that having a mind that's always on, you know, like it is literally that computer that's constantly running, it's constantly processing. Can you tell me what that experience is like? What's it like to, I mean, I have a very, very busy mind, and it's been a lot busier in the past, especially when I was doing depression and panic disorder. But knowing that you have this consistent energy in your mind all the time, you know, I'm always saying to clients that have this configuration, like, meditate, but meditate with a mantra, because your mind needs, the puppy dog needs a freaking bone. You know, like, it needs something to do. It's not the sort of mind that's just going to be peacefully sitting in its gentle little nest, you know, cross-legged and quiet. It's a mind that will need something. So do you want to talk a little bit about the experience of having that defined ajna, that constant tick, tick, ticking of the computer? How does that feel for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll speak to two components of the question of just in a daily experience, and then also in my meditation practice. But just in general, I do have this insatiable desire to learn and absorb information. And I am, yes, always thinking a lot and contemplating. And I think in that typical projector style, it is very broad and philosophical and, you know, always thinking about the big questions in life, so to say. Of course, yes, then the little human 3D necessities come in. And depression was also a big thing and has been a big part of my life, first being diagnosed when I was a teenager. And just kind of the ongoing dance of that. And it's, but within that, there is definitely this sense of, I suppose, a confidence and a trust in my mind. And it's quite interesting. My sister is also a projector, but with many more defined centers. So we operate very differently. There are a lot of crossovers, and there's definitely a yin and yang component to us. It's a very interesting relationship. But within that, there is this sense of, you know, in terms of sibling dynamics, and she's older, she, I would say from my perspective, tends to see herself as a superior intellectually. Like, love her, it's all great. But there is this sense of, we've just had various conversations over the years about things that I've studied. And it's always interesting to me how, and this is again a personality thing, but, you know, I feel like she definitely is attached to the notion of being right at times. And I think it really is because I have this defined, Ashna, that I have this faith in my knowing that I am really okay with people that, you know, want to be right. And there are a lot of people out there in the world that want to be right.
Oh, yeah.
And there's definitely just this kind of surrender that I have that also, you know, I think we are all so similar and all just wanting to feel the same things and want the same things. It just manifests and we want them in different ways. So there's always a little bit of that, you know, stepping back and just recognizing of just, yeah, we're all human, just having a human existence. And I think my mind has been a strong support for me in that way. And it definitely, I can feel like I'm on the hamster wheel in terms of how do I, again, fit into this world. So there's definitely that learning act that I, and that path that I am still on of how to just be me. And you've helped me so much in that, in my experience, and just reinforcing and also just having that mirrored back to me, has been really powerful. And then on the other side of that, I'd say I've been meditating for, gosh, quite a few years now. And I've done various iterations of meditations and different kinds of meditations. But really, I think the what has been the most consistent has been I learned transcendental meditation about 4 years ago. And it's a mantra meditation. And that has been incredibly powerful. And on a side note, within that, they, you know, in all meditation forms, most teachers will say, whatever happens, happens, let it be, don't force the thoughts, right? But within that, so transcendental meditation is supposed to be a twice a day meditation, morning when you wake up, and then in the afternoon and or before you go to sleep. But within that, my afternoon meditation, I, to this day, no matter how much I sleep, I 98% of the time will really zonk out and just, you know, have a full rest in my meditation. And in the beginning, there was a little bit of this, like, okay, they say to be okay with it and trust your body, But again, this kind of questioning of like, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I, like, I get enough sleep, I wake up rested. Why is this happening? And as soon as I learned about this notion that naps are really good for projectors, I was just like, yes, okay. I can really let that doubting of myself and that questioning of myself, I can really let that go because, and this is what I love about human design, is that I just feel so validated in my experience and that it is just one less thing that I need to question and one more thing that I can just really embrace and confidently allow it to support me to be my best self.
I love that. I love that. I love that. And it's so funny. I have literally been recommending transcendental meditation to anyone with a defined ajna or head for the longest time. And it's so beautiful to hear it in real life that yes, it is absolutely the thing. And I think it's just, this is the beauty of it. I love what you said about ultimately learning to let go of all of the criticisms. I mean, we all criticize ourselves. And I was thinking about this. I've got a podcast interview tomorrow. And I was really thinking about like, what is the power of human design? And I think one of the great gifts of human design, and there are many, but one of the great gifts is that we start to let go of these self-criticisms that we've had of ourselves for so long, especially because we discover in many cases that we're actually trying to change or fix our superpower. And once we have that faith, like all that proof that, oh my God, actually that's my superpower. I've just been looking at it the wrong way the whole time. It is just so incredibly freeing. I love it.
Yeah. And I'll add on that note, I have as a child, and I still continuously have very vivid dreams. And I remember my mother actually took me to a healer once, to sort of help me through it, because I just wasn't sleeping very well as a child. And he essentially was the first person, first of many people to, and yes, we all need to protect ourselves and close ourselves off. And I definitely believe in that. But it was this idea that I feel like you really helped me reframe. I feel like there is generally this notion of protecting yourself from other people's energy and kind of zipping yourself up so that, you know, you can keep that boundary. And again, yes, there is a time and place for that. Absolutely. However, you have mentioned on various occasions, just this idea that my open centers are my superpower. And I love that because since embracing that, it has really flipped the script for me in terms of how, and when I have the body scan and I check something that's not necessarily mine, it still allows me to recognize again, just that, wow, I'm really powerful. Like I can feel stuff that people don't want to talk about. People aren't saying, and really the truth I feel and I connect with, and just this idea of not being scared of how open I am has been definitely transformational. And yeah, I'm just so grateful for that. So yeah, I just, yeah, just
had to love it. Thank you for saying, you know, for me, I believe this is one of the real challenges with human design and where people have gone wrong. Because we chose to be designed this way. We came in, we chose to be designed this way, as if we would choose to be designed in a way that we have to constantly protect ourselves. It doesn't make sense. You know, it's really interesting because Swanee, my other mental projector from the mastermind, she said exactly the same thing. She was like, oh my God, game changer. I don't have to protect myself from everyone. And like, you just have to learn that it's not yours and you can let it flow through you because it's in that gift. Like your gift as a projector and as a mental projector, because of your configuration, it's heightened, is to see the potential of energy. And if you are closed down and you're not allowing yourself access to that energy, or you're afraid of it, or you're creating stories that are stopping you being able to read it, then you don't get your superpower. You don't get the ability to fully tap into this ability that you guys have to really feel the potential of energy. And at the end of the day, we all have a choice of whether we identify with other people's energy, hold on to it, create stories that make it disempowering, or we just get to choose to be like, you know, Swanee on the tennis court, like, yep, that's not mine, and just keep cruising. And I think this is where all of us, anyone with an undefined center, we need to stop defending it. And for all those people, 50% of the population who have an undefined solar plexus, stop defending your bloody solar plexus and just, you know, what is true for you? What is yours and what isn't? Because if it's not yours, you can just let it flow through you. Even if it's uncomfortable, just let it flow through you. Yeah, I love that. Thanks for saying that. Thank you for sharing. Oh, so welcome, far out. That's what I'm on the planet to do, right? Totally on the planet to empower others to be their own guru. You know, this is the thing for me. I want to talk about how it feels. Like, a large part of your authority is how people and places make you feel. So over your journey, have you become more consciously aware of, okay, I need to just allow myself to be here and see what comes up, feeling and energy wise? You know, have there been times in the past where perhaps, you know, and you've mentioned it before, that you're like, wow, I need to change myself to fit into this energy, as opposed to taking that as feedback, as in, oh, this is not my people, these are not my places. How is your relationship with that, knowing now that the read you get from people and places is part of your decision-making process?
Yeah, I love this. And I think you've really also helped me become more clear in my understanding of this. But it's, I'd say, so initially there's the environment component. And I've lived in lots of different places in the world. And in each location, I feel like I've picked up some nugget of truth in what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And an example of that was, I was living in New York. I lived in Paris for a year, and then I moved back to New York. And when I was in Paris, there are a lot more green spaces. It's, of course, a much smaller city, so you can see the sky more clearly. But there was really this feeling of also just being outside all year round, even if there's quote unquote weather. And when I was living in New York at the time, there just really wasn't that much. It's changed in the last few years. But when I went back to New York, I made this point of every day, I was in college, and every day on my way to class, I would stop and I would just put my hands up to a tree and just touch the tree and just connect, because I realized that that was really important for me. And again, I grew up in Southern California, so I was always outside, but I never necessarily considered myself like an outdoorsy person. Didn't grow up camping. I now love camping, all these things that, again, learning as I go. But yeah, it's really just building a stronger connection to nature, where I really can just let go and be my happiest self without any conditions, has been so helpful, because it's really easy for me to, again, being totally open when I'm around other people, especially in places like Los Angeles, that I just pick up on all the superficial materialistic desires and wants. And, oh, I see that. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. And as soon as I step out of it, I'm just like, oh, I really don't care. I mean, yes, I like nice things, but that's really not what I'm striving to achieve and accomplish and have. And so in that respect, there's definitely been a gradual leaning towards more removed life. And in that sense, I do also, I was going to mention my sidereal chart of the 6-2. So the hermit thing, I feel like definitely resonates with me, coming into that. But then going back to environment in terms of the people that I surround myself, it's been so fascinating this past year. I feel like it's really been shown to me in a very obvious way of who my people are and who my people aren't. And when I'm around my people that are not mine, it, like, I can have a great time with them. I can really enjoy them. Again, with the Open G Center, I totally have that chameleon vibe. And being able to connect on the soul level, I can really, you know, get into it with any kind of person. And that's been I feel like a blessing of mine and a gift that I have from a young age, really embraced. So that's always been nice. But again, going back to these kind of different groups that I've surrounded myself with, it's really interesting how, yes, I can have a lot of fun and enjoy my time, but ultimately it's like I'm in these groups by association. So it's like, I know that they're not my people. And how that is so obvious to me is that I don't speak as freely as I do when I'm with my people, and I don't get excited and I don't share all the things that I've learned that day or that week or that I've been thinking about, versus when I'm with my people, I'm just boom, 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 sharing the dots. They're asking me questions. I'm telling stories and this and that. And I'm very alive. And when I am then in these other circumstances where, again, lovely people, just not my crew. It's just really interesting to see how the conditioning really comes through of just questioning my worth and my value. And it's hard because I am not for everyone, and I want to be open-minded and I want to have all sorts of people in my life. And I do. But within my people, yeah. So it's like within my people, there are lots of different kinds, quote unquote, of people. So I like to be open and people look all sorts of different kinds and act and are different, but with my people. And I think this then just goes back to the being really authentic component. And when I'm around my people, it's just no questions asked. It's just, I am just free to be me.
I love it. Oh my God, I love it. And this is the piece. And I think it's not just mental projectors that need to be paying more and more attention to these things, you know? Like, yes, it's super important to you guys because it's part of your decision-making process. However, you know, we all notice that there's groups that we are fully ourselves with and then groups that we're not. I mean, I know for me, for sure, that is my experience. I love that. And the thing that I love is that awareness is 95% of the journey. So when we come to human design, and let's say, you know, for those listening, either you're working with a mental projector, you are in a relationship with a mental projector, maybe you're raising a mental projector, like just really being able to empower them that the people that they surround themselves with really matter. I mean, they all matter for all of us. I mean, you would have heard that quote, we are the average of the five people we hang out with. But it's so important for you guys to know that you are with the people and in the environments that make you feel good, because this is part of your decision-making process. I love that. So tell me, what advice would you give to someone out there who's in a relationship with a mental projector? What do you think they need to know?
Oh, I love this. I would say ask open-ended questions and allow them to really speak it out and give them time to, kind of do a little dance around the idea before necessarily jumping in and before coming to any conclusions on your own part around it. And within that, and I think the only way to really be able to be on the receiving end of that is, as in for like the non-mental projector person, is to have an embodied presence within yourself. And again, I think that's really then the way in which we cannot project our stuff onto each other, because we all do it, or we all have the ability to do it. But again, similar to the 95% awareness component, I think just having that grounded sense of self to just hear them out, I think is really,
I love that.
You can offer them.
I think this is such beautiful advice. It's such freaking great advice. I mean, again, it's good advice for everyone. However, being in a relationship with a projector or even a reflector or a manifester, this is golden advice to really have a grounded sense. In fact, all of even the generator types, to have this grounded sense of yourself first, because you cannot do anything different but amplify and reflect the person you're in a relationship with. And we're all the same, but that is the same. You know, my husband, Justin, he literally has two defined centers. He's a splenic projector. And, you know, for many years, I watched him try to resist even the good stuff that I'd be putting down. You know, like he was very resistant for a period of time. But interestingly, the better I got, the healthier I got, whether it was mentally or emotionally or whatever it was throughout my journey, he was like on the journey. He didn't even consciously start his own personal development journey until, you know, I don't even a few years ago, you know, maybe a little bit longer than that. But it just you speaking makes me so aware of, because so much of his journey he didn't really have to do. He just had to make the choice. Am I in this relationship with this woman or not? Because constantly as I was upgrading, he was in that aura. He was in that space. He was experiencing it. And he just had a choice to either be on the Emma train or not. So I think that is really important, because the other side of the coin is that if you are in a relationship with a mental projector and you are not taking responsibility for your own shit, then they have to swim around in that. And that's not correct. That's not right. So taking full responsibility of the energy that we bring to a relationship, I love that. And that other piece, like open-ended questions, you know, one of the things for me being in a relationship with a projector, as I say, he's a splenic projector, on a good day, what I'm really good at is just letting him talk, you know. On a day where I'm busy or, you know, more focused on myself, I will literally be like, oh, I don't need all the words, stop talking. And then the moment that comes out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, sorry, continue to talk, speak, know your truth. Being really aware of that process that you need to speak it out. And being in a relationship with someone, knowing that they that it really serves this person to be able to hold space for them just to speak it out, to talk all the details, is really important.
Yeah.
Love that. So the last thing I want to ask you is, from the perspective of when you were a kid, what do you think parents, what advice would you give to parents who are now trying to parent, or not trying, who are now parenting mental projectors? What do you think would be helpful for them to understand about being a child and a mental projector?
Ooh, I would say trust that they know a lot more than you might be comfortable sharing with them. And you can empower them by sharing and explaining, again, with healthy boundaries and not, you know, I'd say, please, you know, as much as it's possible, don't try to put your stuff onto them, which I think is what many parents and my parents were afraid to do. And so they kept me in the dark and they would tell me everything was fine when it really wasn't. And that was a real challenge, because when you feel something and you're hearing opposing words, it just doesn't necessarily set you up for success. So in the positive, please, you know, in the most grounded way possible, share what you can about your human experience in a way that they are aware that it is not their issue and it is not their fault and their problem. And that, yeah, just, you know, that you love them and want them to be their best selves. And yeah, it's not their responsibility.
I love that. Oh my goodness. And as a parent myself, and I mean, I've got two MG children, so not raising projectors, but I'm really aware of what you just said. You know, I think as parents that we do not talk enough about truth. You know, we're so, and this is changing now, but definitely of my generation, like my mom shared nothing with me. Like I had to work it out on my own. And I think that what you said is so profound because they're feeling it. The kids are feeling it. And if you have a mental projector, like they are really feeling what's going on. Like you're not keeping anything from them. So for me, I think it's so much more important. And for all the people that I've worked with, being a parent myself, all the years of study, is that I think that the value comes in being responsible for ourselves as parents, like being responsible that I am feeling this way. It is about me. You know, like even my kids will often say, oh, you're just projecting your stuff on me. You know, like they understand Amazing. It's a hard boundary. Like, no, that's not me. And it's hilarious when you hear the two brothers like saying, no, you're just projecting your shit on me. It's hilarious, right? But it is this, it's so important that as parents that we stop thinking that kids know less than us, that they are in some way inferior because they're not at all. So we need to be modeling that ability to be honest, responsible, boundaries, and not putting our stuff on them, being very, very clear that, you know, like mom and dad are going through a challenging time right now. It's not anything you've done. It's because of this or that or whatever it is. It's so important that we take full responsibility and we don't overshare, but we certainly don't undershare with our children. So I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also so grateful to the times that we're having all of these conversations because gosh, what a better world it is for it. And I'm, you know, got a lot of work to do. But yeah, I'm so grateful that these topics are coming out because it's certainly made my life a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So, so true. And look, I think that is the thing, right? Like you say, where it can get better. But we're in this place where it's much better that we're shaking it up, that we're creating this change, that we're starting to talk about these things because this is the opportunity for us to reset those boundaries and become different human beings from it. So I'm a strong believer that we are heading in the right direction. It's just that it's bloody messy right now. So It is what it is. But anyway, thank you so much, Miel. It has been amazing talking, being a mental projector with you. And I'm so grateful that you're in my life, that I've got to get to know you. And thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast.
Thank you. And you too. And I actually was hoping to be able to ask you one question.
Yeah, please.
I know that you've done it before on the podcast, but it's been coming up for me recently. And could you explain your process for the body scan? Because I have mine, which I've just integrated so many various modalities and things that I've learned over the years. And yeah, I'd love your quick version of just how to walk through it for someone that's new to this process.
Okay. I love it. Such a freaking great question. Okay, so number one, especially if you are a mental projector or anyone who has mental definition, one of the big keys is that you have to get back into your body. Same for everybody, but this is something that can be a little bit more challenging for either those that are highly identified with the mind. Like for me, I was very identified with my mind. I had a very busy mind, a very clever mind. The first and foremost, it's all about getting the energy. And I want you to imagine that it's almost like an elevator or a lift. We call them lifts in Australia, but an elevator where you're getting your energy and you're moving it from the mind, from the head, and moving it back down into your body. Okay. So the process, in fact, why don't we just do it while we're here? Let's just do it. Everyone's listening. So for those of you out there, what I want you to do is I just want you to close down your eyes. I want you to get comfortable in your space. I want you to just take up energetic space for a moment, closing down those eyes, breathing in, just taking a few deep breaths. And I want you to notice that when you take those deep breaths, I want you to feel the oxygen go in, and then I want you to sigh it out, especially for those generator types or a defined throat. Whatever noise comes out is really important. So sigh it out. That's it. And I just want you to notice your breath to start with, so you can feel that physical connection. And I want you to notice any sounds around you. And feel your bum on the seat or your hands in your lap, really bringing your awareness to this moment. What I want you to do is I just want you to feel into your aura. And for all of those thinkers out there, there is no way you can fuck this up, all right? So you just have to trust where your energy goes. Feel into your aura. I know for me, when I feel into my aura, it is this thing that is like massive and almost has like, I feel like it's like either like tentacles, or it's just like this energy that's blowing in the wind, and it's like receiving all of this information. So I want you to feel into your aura. And now what I want you to do is I just want you to body scan. I want you to start at the just probably a foot above your head. And all you want to do is ask yourself, what am I feeling? And just let that gently move down through your body. And you're curious about feeling. And if your mind gets super busy, what am I feeling? Am I feeling it properly? Is that what I should be feeling? What am I feeling? What am I feeling? Just let it be there. Because everything is perfect. I want you to keep going all the way down to the tip of your toes. And then I want you to feel it's kind of like a loop, and you come to loop back to the top again. And then just ask yourself again, what does my aura feel like? And now for me personally, when I ask myself that question after doing the body scan, all my tentacles have all become like a clean aura, like a clean bubble. It's a lot calmer. And I feel like all my energy is my own. And then that's it. I really just breathe into it, come back into my physical body, open up my eyes. And then I have that awareness of my, like one of the things for me, as I say, like I'm really aware that I have this aura that has these beautiful tentacles, and they are like, I love it a lot of the time, but often it's that awareness that like, oh, I literally have my energy tapped into so many different places. And we just gently go through that process really simply, really easily, and we can make it longer. We can make it more challenging or more complicated. But for me, simplicity is everything. And it is asking yourself this question, like, what does it feel like in my aura? you know, like it's about your aura, body scan, then doing that loop. Like I always imagine that, you know, that energy force field that we have that is like that figure eight that runs through the chakras. So when we do that full loop and checking back into our aura, how that feels, this is for me is like, okay, cool, this is it. And almost just the mental, funnily enough, I got a mental feeling. It was almost like a clicking into place of, okay, that's how my energy feels. And now then we can go out into wherever we are and we can do that same process and we can do it faster and just asking ourselves that question, how does my aura feel right now? Body scan, how does my aura feel now? And you'll be able to start to differentiate your energy compared to other people's energy. Helpful?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so excited to share this with various other mental projectors I have in my life. So thank you so much for that and this entire conversation and for being in my life. And yeah, I'd say, you know, when you were saying earlier that you are here to empower all of us, I would say yes. And you are rocking at it. And I'm so grateful to, have found you in this lifetime. And I just love it and everything that you do. So thank you.
Oh, you're so, so welcome. Thank you. I feel very grateful to have you in my life, in my class, and here on the podcast. So thanks so much, Mia.
Thank you. See you soon.
So for all of you out there listening, thank you so much for joining the Authority Series podcast. It's been so much fun talking authority in real life with people. For those of you that are in the HDX membership, which is so exciting, we are just about to kick off the authority panels this month, starting with emotional authority. So we're going to be talking to an emotional manifestor, MG, generator, and projector, which is going to be so much fun. So we can really see how they play out with each type. For those of you who are loving the podcast, we will have another series coming up very soon. So stay tuned. But that's it for me today. Thanks everyone for listening and bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.